Company of One, episode number 20. Hello, this is Del Callahan, and I'm your host here for Company of One, and this is the 20th episode. When I started doing this a couple of months ago, I didn't know if we would do two or three, but based upon the feedback, and thank you so much for those of you giving feedback. You know, when you're doing something like this, it's really encouraging to get feedback, to get questions, to get, even the comments where people tell you you're an idiot. I'm not really getting that comment, but, you know, I do get challenges, and that's good. That's, you know, it's good to, sometimes there's no right answer to things. But in this podcast, we're exploring freedom. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday looking at coming into our graduate program, and he was talking about the cost of the program, and it was a little higher than he thought it was. He was a little shocked when he realized he had signed up, been accepted, and hadn't done his homework, as he said. And we just were really talking through the cost-value proposition. And as I just talked about some of the things that we cover in the program, which are some of the things we cover in this podcast, that there's options in life. There are things that we can do that we've never been told. We've been filled with a bunch of lies. And it's not necessarily intentional deceit. It's just we're part of a process, and that process doesn't always work, and it doesn't fulfill everyone's needs. And that process of, you know, hey, let's get educated. Let's educate the masses. Let's teach our kids. And at one time, that was us. And we're not taught to think. We're taught to kind of follow the leader, move to the next stage, move into college. Again, follow the leader, get out of college, get a job, again, follow the leader. You know, when we find ourselves our days from 8 to 5 consumed with working, people, when I say 8 to 5, people just laugh at me as if you haven't worked in the corporate world in a while, have you? But I get it. You know, the day doesn't end. You've got the email attached to your phone. You've got text messaging. You know, it's just a never-ending activity. And it consumes you, and then the things that are important to us, children, lifestyle, travel, whatever they are, they get pushed to the back in the race, in the hurry and race to survive and to thrive. You know, and we always do it in interest of providing for our children, providing for our families, providing for ourselves, and to grow and to become better, and instead we're becoming more of the system, and we're teaching our children to do that same thing. So this is, you know, there's options, and I'm just constantly staggered of the number of people. Now, granted, they're a huge minority, but the number of people who are doing crazy things, who are doing things out there, making a living, doing what they love. If you've listened to the last two podcasts, you've listened to Brian Rabin, who's gone off and done entrepreneurial venture, and you've listened to Paul McGuire, who's done it inside of a corporation. Now, I can get others of these. Matter of fact, I was at a conference the other day sitting next to a gal that was had left corporate America to do what she dreamed to do. So part of what we're doing here today, part of what I'm sharing with you is what's upcoming in a course that I'm doing. I've done workshops many times, and people are constantly, I went to lunch with somebody the other day and said, when are you going to do the next workshop? People email me and ask me the workshops on entrepreneurship. And of course, some people are not in the city I am in, so they want to do it via webinar, via other tools. So that's what I'm working on right now, trying to take the feedback and the comments from the last time that I did an entrepreneurship series. And I'm trying to develop it into something that is more useful, people can get what they need out of it. A step-by-step, click-by-click, if you will, teaching people how to do it. The last time I did such a course on how to develop an entrepreneurial mindset, how to become an entrepreneur, how to start a company, probably 3 to 4 of the people in the group actually did it. And they were already inclined and moving in that direction, of course, when they got in there. But I think it was, based upon feedback, it was overwhelming, the amount of material and the speed at which we went. So What I've been doing is trying to slow that down because, you know, I'm as guilty as you are. And as a matter of fact, that's what we're about to talk about is you. How do you become a paid authority? You know, and I'm finding myself, and as I'm talking through that right now, that's what I'm doing. You know, I have found myself, even in a university setting, being a paid authority on entrepreneurship. And obviously, I do this in other ways too, through workshops and through this course that we'll be doing. But what about you? I mean, really, you know, you don't care about me. You care about you. And what is it that you can do? So I've got here today, we're going to talk through quickly, I think, 5 steps on how to become a paid authority. And this is really an outline for the beginning of that workshop and the beginning of that course, or maybe it's the first course. I don't really know how it's going to lay out. But as I got feedback from the last course I taught, this was where people really, and I went and requested a lot of feedback, and this is where it laid out. This is where you should start, Dale. This is what was the magic in the thinking. And that's really the key, is this: there's magic in the thinking. So let's talk through these 5 steps to becoming a paid authority. So, I mean, all this is introduction, but let me kind of back up a minute and talk about you as a teacher. Now, we are all teachers. I realize some of us have teachers in profession. But if you're working for someone, if you know anything, as a matter of fact, if you have children, your children are teachers. I've watched our sons develop expertise on things, and it may be video games, but they develop a certain expertise, and when they get together and they play and they have fun, you know, and they end up sharing expertise about what they've learned. You're a teacher also. Whether you're really good at cooking, you're good at home decorating, you're good at repairing automobiles, you're good at doing genealogy research, you're good at using Facebook. You know, as you look at things that you are the authority on, and that's what I'm saying, there's a difference between being an authority and being a paid authority. And many people, when I tell them this, they'll say, well, I'm not really an authority at all. I don't really have any skill set. I don't really have anything in particular to offer. And the gal, as I sat next to her the other day, and I'm looking for her card here. I've forgotten her name. I'm going to try to get her on a podcast. But she was left corporate America. And what had happened to her is she was working out and she was stressed. Because she was in corporate America, she was managing people, and it was a very, very stressful job. She was managing IT people, and she was telling, and this is true of a lot of IT people, they're belligerent, hostile, know-it-alls. Now, that's true of other professions too, doctors, lawyers, and PhDs have come to mind. But, you know, they're difficult to manage, direct, lead, or anything else. They're know-it-alls. So as we look at that, what happens to the manager? Obviously, she was stressed. And she told me, she said, I just had to start working out as a way to survive, as a way to de-stress. And as she did that, she found other people started asking her for advice. And she now has left corporate America and helps other people exercise and manage their own stress because she became an authority. She became the person that was the expert in doing that. And that's what we're looking at, is where is your authority? Where are the things that you teach that other people know? Now, the clues are, and if you're still sitting here saying, well, Dale, I hear what you're saying, but there is nothing. And I know, I'm going to give you this challenge. As a matter of fact, I'm putting this in text. If you think that you don't have any skill set or anything to teach, or you're not teaching now, I'm going to challenge you that you're wrong. And I will put it in writing. As a matter of fact, I have put it in writing. It's on the show notes today. If you go to Dale Callahan, and you can go to the podcast. It's 025 Steps to Becoming a Paid Authority. So it's the July 30th, having to look at my calendar, July 30th podcast. So what we want you to do is, what I want you to do is, if you don't think you have any authority, let me know. We'll find it for you, because I've met with probably hundreds of people now that are clients that they'll tell me, you know, they don't really have anything unique. They don't have anything special. They don't have anything that they know. They don't have anything to sell. They don't have any particular knowledge. And these are all smart people. They're not, and it really doesn't even matter. Smart, book smarts, whether you know or not, you're a teacher. I can't convince you of that enough, and I can't talk through your particular problem on this. I can just tell you that I've never found anyone that didn't have something unique to teach. By the way, I've never found anyone that didn't have something unique to teach that I thought they couldn't make a living doing it. Now, do you hear what I'm saying? They couldn't make a living to do it. I'm going to have linked on the show today just a minor sampling of some companies, including ours, of people who have become authorities accidentally many times. Actually, most of them that I'm listing here are accidental authorities. They found themselves answering lots of questions, us being one of them, me being one of them, me and my wife. And they realized they had products and services to sell, and therefore they're making a living doing that. And the people that I'm listing here, I think we can say, are making more than the average American doing that. Now, listen to that very carefully. They're making more than the average American doing something that is just something that comes easy to them. It's common knowledge, and they're teaching other people to do it. They have control of their time. They have control of their income. They have control of pretty much everything. They don't really have the boss. They're answering to lots of different people. So what about the steps that we would do to do this is very much what these people have done, very much what I've done. And the first one is finding your calling. Now, if you've listened to this podcast, and if you've read any of my blog or anything, or if you're familiar with Dan Miller's material, obviously you find, and Dan Miller, by the way, is one of these guys I'm talking about. I don't have him linked here in the show, but you know that people who you've got to though find your calling. And this isn't a magical or spiritual experience before. I mean, I do think that each one of us is, God's gifted each one of us with certain abilities and certain skills and certain interests and certain desires of things that we like to do, things that we like to explore, things we like to spend our time and energy on. And that's a God-given talent. And if you are squandering that talent, and we talk about the talents, and biblically speaking, the talents, if you're squandering that by hiding your talent, what does that say biblically? Look that up. Go off and look up what the scriptures say about hiding your talents. And I'm not trying to stretch the scriptures much here. I'm because obviously we know the point there is a spiritual point, but I think it's also, we cannot separate the world of business and the world of faith. I mean, if you're a person of faith, you can't do that. One of the ways we serve people is by what we do for a living. If you're going to work and you're serving people, hopefully you are, you're serving someone, or otherwise they're not paying you. But that's a service, and that's a business. Now, whether you're doing what you're doing for a living and it's your calling, or if it's just something you can do. For instance, you know, I was doing some work on my house the other day, and somebody commented, well, Dale, you're really good at this. Maybe you should open a business doing that. Now, just because I'm good at something, just because I can do something, it doesn't mean I have a desire to do it. And that is a difference here. So it's not my calling to go off and be a plumber or a carpenter or anything else. And I can promise you it's not my calling to be a plumber. But you're looking for that thing that uniquely warms your heart when you do it. that in each one of us is something different probably. And even if me and you have the same exact calling of teaching and helping people and guiding people, we probably do it differently. We probably will communicate to people differently. Now, if you haven't been through and you don't have a good feeling for what that calling is or what your unique characteristic God-given ability is, then at the end of the blog post, or you can go to just to my blog, just dalecallahan.com, there's the free ebook, which is a part of the Resumes Are Worthless book. That's How to Find Your Calling. You download that section, and it will walk you through a series of brainstorming exercises to help you identify it. It's the exact same stuff that Paul went through, exact same stuff that Brian went through on the previous podcast. You know, and it's like I've told you then, it's not magic. It's mainly helping you identify what's clearly in front of you. Many other people might be able to tell you what that is. And if they can, great. But you got it. That's the first step, is really you finding what that lights the fire in you. Because so many people run out and they start a business or they do something and they try to become authority in something they don't care about. Matter of fact, I was listening to a podcast the other day about a guy who created a software product for special needs children to help teach them just because he could. It was kind of, he thought, hey, I could develop an iPad app. The solution for these kids that we use to teach these kids, and I forget what the problem was, but the solution that they use to teach these kids is like a $7,000 software package. So what he did is he developed it with a thinking in mind of a $700 package. That includes the cost of the iPad. And he did. And he did it for a friend, and he started selling product and started making money. And he found people asking him lots of questions. But, you know, he didn't really care about the issue. He didn't have special needs kids. He didn't have any unique expertise in the area, except he wrote the software. You know, so he found himself feeling like, well, I don't really want to mess with this because this isn't my thing. So he's, you know, at the time he was listening, trying to think his way through, how do I get somebody else to take this on who does have a passion for that area? I've written a product to solve a particular problem, but don't care about the problem. Now, I will tell you that there are many, many opportunities like that out there already, that I run into people like that all the time that have created something, making money at it, but it's not their unique thing, so they're trying to go off and do their unique thing. But for all of us, it's to find our calling, not to be working outside of that, because it's a lot more fun to do that. Once I find that, let's say I go through this exercise and I find I am uniquely gifted. Let me give you a particular example. One of the people that was in the workshop was uniquely gifted, that's a terrible way to say that, but on sexual assault. She had experienced that before in her life, and she had become a counselor to help other people. But it was something she cared deeply about that meant something to her. So that was her calling, is to help people get through this and to deal with it. So out of that, what she did, which is the second step here, is she offered a seminar. Now, that seems like a big, giant leap. If I sit down with you and your calling is helping people learn to cook for diabetics, maybe you have a diabetic in your family and you've really gotten good at cooking great meals that have the diabetic diet at mind, and you've tested that out in the sense that you feel like you really have this unique skill and you love doing it. So the thought of jumping from that step to offering a seminar in it it seems like a pretty big leap to people. But here's how we do it. And this is what we did with the sexual assault expert here, is think about the five key questions that people ask. Think about the five key things that people ask you about, the five key things that you share with people. And throw out a seminar and tell people, hey, I'm going to do a seminar. I'm going to answer these five questions. Because you're, by saying that alone, you're an authority. For instance, one of my expertise areas is business startups. You know, I go to lunch with lots of people. I get asked lots of people. I from the videos I have on YouTube and stuff, people from all over the country, especially, and sometimes all over the world, will email me and ask me questions about starting businesses. And by the way, I'm not validated. These people are finding my videos, and I've answered questions on these videos, and they're asking me. They haven't validated me. They're not looking me up in the Better Business Bureau or anything like that. It's just because I've answered questions like I know what I'm talking about. That's all that matters, you know, and hopefully you know what you're talking about, or you will get found out. But what I might do for this, if I was doing a new business startup seminar today, and I've gone through the calling exercise, is I would come out and say, here's the five questions. And here's the ones I know, because I know what I'm asked. Is number one, what do I need to get started in my new business? Number two, how much funding do I need and how do I get it? Number three, what licenses do I need and how do I get them? And number four, how to determine how much to charge for your products and services? And number five, how do I incorporate my business? But those questions, I get them all the time. All the time. Over and over and over and over. And variations of those questions. Now, if you've listened to this, if you read any of my stuff, you know that those questions are the wrong questions. Right? You know that funding to get starting a businesses and licenses, I tell people not to worry about that kind of stuff to get started. You know that. But yet these are the questions people ask, so I would bring them into a seminar by those questions. Now, obviously, during the seminar, I would explain to them why those questions were not relevant. So, you know, if you're a chef or you're cooking and for diabetic meals, and, you know, maybe my question would be, how do you cook with Splenda, you know, or something like that. And maybe if you're the diabetic chef, you were like, no, that's not the right answer. That's not the right question. But you know that's the common question that people might ask you, so you kind of lead with that. So you're going to just do a seminar. And the way we've done this in the past is say go 10 weeks out, put it on your calendar, go to a local library, go to your I've had some people do this at their office. Go to their office, stick something on the bulletin board. Hey, I'm going to do a seminar on X. And that especially works if you have expertise that's related to the business, such as I'm really good at developing Oracle scripts, you know, or something like that. You know, you might do a little workshop internal. It adds value to your company, and it shows you as an expert. And it's a fairly friendly environment. But local libraries do this all the time, and they usually are not going to charge you anything to do that because it brings people into the library. It's a win-win. We have lots of relationships where we've done this at lots of libraries in different cities, as a matter of fact, where we go in and do free workshops. Just because they ask us to, and we're constantly asked to come back to libraries to do free workshops because it brings people in. So it's an easy thing. You know, you might end up with five people there. You might end up with 100 people there. But you can limit it. You can do some things. But you basically put it out. And what I see a lot of people doing is they'll put an event out on Facebook or something. Matter of fact, we're doing this right now as we speak. We're doing a entrepreneurship for kids workshop because we're asked a lot of times, you know, kids have a unique entrepreneurial spirit. They don't, they're not like us adults. They still think things can be done. You know, they haven't been beat into submission by the system. So we're doing this workshop for a couple of weeks on just to walk kids through the process, to teach them basic business skills, and to have them have something where they actually make real revenue. But we did it on Facebook. So Point being, you put a date out there and you say, hey, I'm going to do this workshop, and you start telling people about it. And when people, there's something magical about it when people start signing up for your workshop. The first time, you'll be like, wow, somebody wants to come to this? Somebody wants to come to hear me talk about something? Somebody wants to hear me, somebody even wants to learn about this? Really? And it's really exciting to do that. So what now when you do the workshop, let's say you do it 10 weeks out, 5 weeks out, whatever, it's magical. And I would say just throw a date on the calendar, commit. There's nothing like throwing it out there if it firms a commitment. And by the way, nobody's going to kill you if you're doing this for free right now. Nobody's going to kill you if they walk away and say, "Well, Dale was here to teach me how to do business and he doesn't have a clue." That's good feedback. Or Dale, you answered a whole bunch of questions, but you didn't answer the questions I really had. But you learned from that. I think I remember reading somewhere or hearing or talking to Dave Ramsey. I don't know. Dave Ramsey somewhere at some point was talking about he had 6 people in his workshops when he began, when he was teaching people how to get out of debt. And he learned what questions to ask, learned what things to do, learned what things to talk about, learned how to entice people to even care. Now, so there's the first 2 steps, is you find out what it is by finding your calling, and then you offer some kind of seminar. And by the way, you can do the seminar over a webinar if you like, if that's comfortable. You can do it over a teleseminar, just freeconferencecall.com. The third thing is you record the seminar. Now, what I do is I take a little tape recorder in anytime I do a talk, and I take a tape recorder and I record it. I record it live, and I just turn it on, and I don't worry about it. It's recording in the background. But I've recorded the seminar. Now, what you're doing from that is now you're recording not only yourself talking, but you're recording the interaction. And that's very important because we tend to take for granted the questions other people ask us. But the questions are the magic. The questions are where we learn to understand what we really need to teach. Okay, and when you do the seminar, I just tell you, people think you cannot dumb it down enough. Because you're going to go in there and you're going to think you don't have enough material, and the questions are going to drag you. You may have 5 points, and you may realize the questions have drug you to you don't have any opportunity but to cover the first point because your points were too complex. You thought they were simple, but they're too complex. And that's those questions that you get on the recording are really crucial because that tells you a lot of things like other products and services you could develop. But from that recording, you go home and you take that recording and you either write up what you did in an ebook, including the questions. You might just simply write out your notes. If you were using PowerPoint, you might just include the PowerPoints and have some text explaining each thing. And at the end of it, write out the questions everybody asks you. Frequently asked questions or questions from the workshop. Write out the question verbatim and just write a quick answer to it. Now, that is valuable. That is an ebook. That is a $29 downloadable ebook product that you could sell over and over and over again. Now, if you've done this before, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't done this before, this sounds complex. It's not. You could just take the raw audio. And I know lots of people who just take the raw audio, they put it up, they upload it, and here's a downloadable course. There's really not, they'll use a tool like eJunkies or Gumroad. I'll have a link to eJunkies or Gumroad. I don't have a link. PayPal. You might use PayPal. That's where we're all simple. But Gumroad will let you put an audio product out there, and people download it, and they pay. So I might put that audio thing out there for $32 or whatever the price, and people download my one-hour workshop for $32, and I get paid using the tool Gumroad, Gumroad.com. You can go sign up. And by the way, it's free, like PayPal. It's free. you might create a video seminar, or you know, go off and record yourself and put the whole thing up on YouTube and offer it for free, or put it up on some other tool and offer it for download. I mean, the whole point is you've got a product. Once you've done this seminar, you've got a product and you've developed an authority. And the more you go out and claim that authority, the better. So there's the, you know, once you find your calling, you set up some kind of workshop or seminar or some way to teach people, and then you record it. And then the fourth thing is you begin sharing. Now, I've got in the notes, begin blogging, because that's what most people are familiar with. But you take what you've learned and you start writing about it. You start sharing about it. You might not like blogging. You might not like to write. So you may rather do like what we're doing here and do a podcast. Record audio, put it up there on iTunes. You might think this is the hardest, but this is probably one of the easiest, is do a video cast. Record yourself on a video, upload it to YouTube, create a little YouTube channel. It's kind of like setting up a Facebook page. And you just record a video every week and you just put it up there. You know, and you go to your Facebook page or your Twitter account, whatever social media you might use, and you give a link to it and you talk about it. It's, believe it or not, that's easiest and probably the cheapest thing to do. Blogging does cost, you know, it's probably going to cost you about $100 for a year. Podcasting, you know, depending on how you do it, can cost a little bit of money. We'd spent money on this and just the feed of the channel and things like that. And people are always shocked, video, because you have a video camera, you have an iPhone, you don't need high-end stuff to do this. But the point is, you've already developed an authority and you start sharing what you're doing with a larger audience. Now, that's what I'm doing right now. You know, I'm doing this authority. By the way, I love doing this stuff. I know I love doing it live better. I love having being in a group, having live feedback. Video and just raw audio is a little harder for me. It's not as exciting. It's hard for me to get as excited, you know, talking to a wall. but the point is, that's why we do it. I love the subject. I love the interaction through email that we get. I love that when people come and talk to me. I love when we do workshops and people have listened to this content. You know, the other day I was at a workshop and some guy was telling me, I've downloaded and printed out everything that you have blogged ever. And I just remember sitting there, you know, almost white, like, oh my gosh, what have I written about? And how bad was it? How many typos and misspellings and stuff have you found? And don't you think I'm an idiot? You know, but he didn't. You know, now they're all there. There's no question all that's there. But he likes the material. He connects with what we're talking about. There's a unique, you know, and it's not everybody, but there all you need is a certain number of people. So from that, you begin blogging, and I'm gonna say the fifth step is you listen, you learn, and you develop. As people comment to you, as people give you feedback, as people talk to you, you listen to them. You listen to their questions. You listen to their concerns. Everything that comes out of somebody's mouth that's a comment is an opportunity for a new product or service. And I don't mean that trivial. I mean, when you start hearing comments over and over and over again, you definitely know you have a product or service. When people keep asking you, you know, well, how do you put the salt in your, you know, when do you put the salt in your diabetic cooking? You know, salt, salt, salt. You could be hearing questions about salt. Now, again, I'm not a chef, so I don't know what the question might be. But, you know, you obviously can clue in, wow, that's an important subject to people. It's trivial to the cook, but it's an important subject to those who are listening to you. So what is that for you? You know, what is that question as you start sharing with people? Because I can promise you this one thing. What you think is trivial is not. And I cannot say that because I have the same problem you do. I cannot say that enough. What you think is trivial is not. To me, what you think is trivial is a big deal. It's hard. It's complex. I don't understand it. You will have to show me, and you'll have to show me over and over. And I will pay you money to show me. That's the deal. Because, again, God's gifted you with something that is easy, that is trivial, that's a no-brainer to you. It's, and it may be even fun and enjoyable for you to do. But that's your gift. And share it with other people. And if you're paid to share it with other people, you'll want to share it with even more people. And therefore, you'll bless other people's lives because it's a, you know, when people pay you for something, it's not like they pay you and they get nothing in return. It's a transaction. They're paying you and you're teaching them. You both walk away with value. You walk away with more money. They walk away with more education. I mean, listen to me. I'm in the education business at a university. People pay us thousands, tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars for education. And some of that education isn't even, you can't even monetize it. You can't get paid for it. You know, some of the stuff that's taught at a university, as you well know, doesn't really add any true value to the world. Probably what you can teach me and what you can teach others does add true value. It adds value in relationships. It adds value in hobbies. It adds value in how they can make money. It adds value in how they take care of their home. It adds value in how they decorate their home. I mean, go on and on and on and on. You get the idea. So just some examples of some of these things. One of us being our homeschooling business that we started, Ask Dr. Callahan. We started this company by accident, and I'll have a link to some of these in the show, but we started this one by accident. It was a situation where we were homeschooling our two older daughters. They were both high schoolers, and we started homeschooling. And when we did that, we found that other people were asking us to help teach math. And it kind of became a chaos thing. We almost had to start the company to save our own sanity because we were being asked so often for help. So, you know, here we've done this, and we're teaching math. It's something that comes relatively easy to us, my wife and I both being engineers, you know, and with advanced degrees in engineering. So teaching math, just not really a no not really a big issue, not really complicated. My gosh, how many math books are out there? How many math teachers are in the world? You know, it's not something, by the way, that I would jump off and go do. It's not even my calling, math stuff. But we serve families all over the world by doing this. We ship product. You know, this is pretty much a shipping product, but it's information. We're helping people. We're an authority in homeschool math. There's no question about that. You can search out there and you'll find us as being an authority. Another one is Cliff Ravenscraft, Podcast Answer Man. As a matter of fact, if you're going to go into the podcasting business, he's a guy you want to go, you want to go to podcastanswerman.com. He's not the only one. There's other great ones. I think there's Audacity to Podcast, another great one. But Cliff started podcasting. He loved it. He became so good at it as his hobby, others were asking him for help. Ding, ding, ding. There's the clue. Others were asking for help on how to do it. Now Cliff's full-time job is podcasting and helping people around the country podcast. Pat Flynn. I met Pat Flynn and Cliff both in the same place back in February. And I love Pat's story because he was so active. He got fired before he realized he had a secondary income. And I'll let you go to his... his is Smart Passive Income, Smart Passive Income, or SPI as he calls it, but it's smartpassiveincome.com. And Pat accidentally got into business with passive income and websites and things that he founded that. Great story. I mean, I just love these guys' stories. Jeff Goines, another guy I met in February at the, I met a lot of these guys at the Platform Conference, but Jeff Goins just recently quit his day job and started to be a full-time author, blogger. And I don't know where he is financially. He's the one guy. The other ones, I know where they are financially. They're doing very, very, very well. Jeff, I don't know if he's there yet, but he's certainly heading there. Brian Rabin, who was on one of the recent podcasts we did, obviously we told a story. Go back, I think it was podcast episode number 18, that we told his story. And he's obviously one of our clients, and he's doing extremely well, doing something he loves doing. You know, and again, this list of people is absolutely endless. Absolutely endless. I could go on and on and on, and many of them I know, many of them I don't. And but every day I run into somebody else through, I discover them by meeting them, or discover them by them emailing me, or discover them by you know, just hearing about them or reading about them. That they're doing nothing but teaching. I mean, really, if you look at what all of these people I've told you about, they're all teachers. They're professional teachers, but they're not making the $30,000-$40,000 a year that the average teacher makes. I don't know what an average teacher makes, but it's not enough. Even at a university, the average university faculty is not really that paid that great. You know, there's obviously exceptions for some of us, but most of them aren't paid that great. So, but you're looking at, these people are teachers, and they're making well above the national average teaching people. And some of the stuff they're teaching, it's just not that complicated. And I can give you examples of all kinds of teachers who teach weird little stuff. And are making a living doing it. Now, I'm not trying to drive you into the opportunity to go quit your day job. Don't go off and tell your boss, hey, I'm quitting my day job because this Callahan creature tells me I can teach and make a living at it. But this is something to do to develop. It helps you develop your passion for something. It helps you to teach others and serve others doing it. And you know, wow, if it becomes your income and your main income source, great. If it doesn't, fine. That's fine too. You know, for me, I'm still at the university. I love the university thing. As a matter of fact, the university thing and my authority thing is kind of intermingled. And as long as we get along there, and I'm providing value there, and I get to do whatever I want there, then that's good. I'm happy there. As when that changes, well, I'll probably change too. But this is. And again, I'm coming out with a product. If you're interested in learning about when the product comes out in details, there's a sign up on the page. You can sign up there to get that information. But seriously, this is just information. I hope that you'll find this valuable. If you have any questions, especially if you tell me you have nothing of value to offer, let me know. And we'll get on the phone and we'll go through this exercise together. We'll meet in person, whatever we've got to do, because I can promise you, you have it. You have some skill. You have some ability to become an authority, or you probably already are an authority. And we can help you uncover that and find that. Thank you. Thank you for your feedback and your help. And please keep your feedback coming. Help other people. One of your places of authority has given feedback to those things that you like and that add value. You know, give feedback publicly. You know, you can put feedback to us on iTunes. There's a place there on the blog how to do that. You can go to iTunes and rate shows. You can provide comments. You know, whatever. And any feedback you have. I'm like you. I like to get feedback and understand how things add value to people. So wishing you a wonderful week. Now go make something happen. Never